Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl 1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Highbury Squad. We are down a man or woman today. Depends what day it is with Amanda. Some days she's got her balls on, some days she hasn't. But our Guna girl is off to the races tonight, and it's me and Mr. Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. Welcome to the show, Kev.
Hi, Sophie. You okay?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm very, very well. I can't wait to get this pod going, got to say.
I know. And I've been dying to talk to you about this since Sunday. So let's get stuck into this. I want to do things a little bit differently today because a lot has been said about our first game, some of it melodrama, in my opinion. But I wanted to, as this was Unai Emery's first team that he picked, Kev, I just wanted to go through the team that started, right? So instead of saying, we could have done this, we could have done that, let's just talk about each individual player for just a little bit. And let's start at the very back with Mr. Peter Cech, because I know that we both have a huge amount of respect for him. He's done things in the Premier League that, you know, only goalkeepers like Schmeichel can say they've done, really. He's been hugely successful. I don't know if it was the playing it from the back, and clearly he's not been great with his feet, I don't think, over the years that we've seen him, even at Chelsea. Wasn't really renowned for that. Did we put him under unnecessary pressure? Do you think Cech is past his sell-by date? Talk me through Cech, first off.
I think Peter Cech had a decent game. Obviously, there's two facets to the game. There's his actual goalkeeping, which I thought he'd done very well, actually. He made some really good saves. You know, he was quite commanding of his box, etc. But the actual playing with his feet at times put him under enormous pressure. And if you're not comfortable to start with playing that way, and against a team like Manchester City, because what they were doing, after about 15 minutes, they worked out that, right, okay, they're going to keep doing this. So then they started to trap us. And, you know, we got away with it at certain times, and the pressure started to build a lot more. The crowd got a little bit into it and were a bit, you know, apprehensive. And, you know, that culminated in Peter Cech nearly scoring an own goal. Gladly he didn't. But, you know, that was the pressure that Manchester City were putting on us, you know. Mm-hmm. But realistically, I thought Peter Cech done okay. And, you know, I can't see him being dropped. I know a lot of people are clamoring for him to be dropped, but I thought he done fine. You know, especially second half where Aguero burst through after a mistake at the back there. And, you know, he produced a great save. He didn't have any chance with any of the goals. So, you know, the way I see Peter Cech, yeah, it leaves a little bit to be desired with his feet, but, you know, he didn't have a lot of players who were showing. Guendouzi was probably the only real midfield player who really wanted to get on that ball and make things happen. So,
Kev, you know, it's interesting because after the first game, there's so much melodrama, isn't there? Calling for people's heads already, calling for X, Y, and Z. And we'll get to all of that in just a second. But I felt like with the team selection, Unai was going for some safety at the back. He was starting, you know, Maitland-Niles in left-back, Babastadopoulos in centre-back. He had Guendouzi in midfield. I felt like he went with Cech because if he was going to take risks elsewhere on the pitch and try and integrate some new signings, the one area he probably felt where he had the most experience and cover was in the goalkeeping position. Would you agree with that, and potentially that being behind his decision making as well, that he could rely on someone like Cech in his first big game at home against a team that is, to be quite honest, absolutely sensational?
Yeah, look, you know, you stick with your tried and tested. For Bernd Leno, he's got to learn about the Premier League. Mm-hmm. Petr Cech has all the experience of the Premier League. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Unai Emery made the right choice to start with by putting Petr Cech in. Petr Cech's had a fantastic preseason. So, you know, why not put him in and try and stabilize that back five? And, you know, I thought Petr Cech had a decent game. I really did.
I agree with you because he saved us on two or three occasions. The double save was absolutely incredible and vintage Cech. And the almost own goal was absolutely diabolical for someone of his ilk. I mean, that was a pure indication of feeling a little bit under the cosh at the time. And who knows what he was thinking. But I still believe that someone like him at the back is really reliable, Kev, and especially when it comes to this back four. Now, I think, and we'll go into the back four now, everyone, a lot of people, including our girl, Miss Amanda, gave the defence a really difficult time. And I felt like because of our lacklustre prowess up front, our defence was put under unnecessary pressure because the amount of times Ozil and Mkhitaryan in particular gave the ball away was just unacceptable for players of their ilk, right? So talk me through, let's start with Bellerin, who I actually felt looked decent. We were getting killed on the flanks. It wasn't easy, was it? We were under an insurmountable amount of pressure. But I actually think the back four did as well as they could because they were let down by their midfield and forward play.
I think you've answered the question perfectly, Sophie. Look, Bellerin, he got the better of Sterling at times, and Sterling got the better of him at times. Obviously, Sterling and, you know, Sterling's such a difficult player. Mahrez changed wings as well. And that's what Manchester City could do to you. They're going to ask your defence so many questions. And I revert back to the game last season where it was all over in 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the way Bellerin played, I thought he'd done okay. You know, he got forward, I think only once he had a shot in the first half, which got saved. And then they went up the other end and had a go at our goal. So that just goes to show you the way Manchester City are. If you're going to really peg them back, you better be prepared to do the work to get back because they're going to really push you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Bellerin was fine. I really did. Can I just do the whole back four?
Yeah, let's do. Yeah.
Because the way Manchester City play in their system, they tend to overload the wide men.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're fullbacks, if the fullbacks ain't driving forward, they tuck inside. So the wide men end up inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that leaves, because their wide players stay wide, and that leaves one-on-ones on the outside. And when you've got a lot of room, I don't care what type of fullback you are, if you've got good players, they're going to get the better of you at times. And Sterling got the better of our fullbacks at times, and Mahrez got the better of our fullbacks at times. And at times, Maitland-Niles got overloaded, especially in the first half with Walker making surging runs. And Mendy, you know, caused us some problems surging forward from the fullback. I thought Papastathopoulos and Mustafi, I thought they were fine. Mm-hmm. I thought they were fine in the centre of the defence. Nobody really got outstripped or anybody really got done on the turn. And it was Aguero. He had some good positions in the box. And I thought the defence done okay. It was so un-Arsenal-like going forward that we were actually at our most vulnerable when we were attacking.
Yes. 100%. 100%.
You know, because we couldn't retain the ball up top.
Nope.
So as soon as the transition and it turned over, Manchester City don't mess about. They play forward and they play to hurt you. So that's where our problems begun. And yeah, we understand it is a process. But when you're playing against the best team in the land and you cannot muster offense, you're going to be in trouble. And
absolutely.
That was our big problem.
And I agree that, and I agree with your assessment of the back four. I thought Mustafi and Babastathopoulos for most of the game, positionally, they were sound, Kev. I thought that Maitland-Niles was doing pretty okay up until he came off. But I do feel like the game did change for us for the more positive when Lichtsteiner came on. I felt like he attacked the ball much better. I felt like he got into better positions. I thought that his distribution was a little bit poor. I thought that he wasted the ball two or three times. But overall, I think that he was able to establish himself in that game. And I think also ask the question, should he start in Monreal's absence?
Well, if it is against Chelsea, if Monreal's not fit, he's got to start. I think what we've got to... I purposely didn't mention Lichtsteiner because I wanted to say this. The first thing he'd done when he came on at left back, the ball went to Mahrez and Mahrez played it off and he made contact with him. And they played it around and the ball went to Mahrez again and he made contact with him. Not fouling, but he just let him know he was there. And I think that is so important. That's the experience of the man.
Yep.
To know, you know, Mahrez is now looking out for him. You know, and before you know it, Mahrez went out to the left and Sterling went over to the right because I don't think Mahrez quite liked Lichtsteiner being on his case.
And I thought he did really, really well. And that brings me to the midfield because I feel like this is our biggest pickle of all. And I wanted you to give your assessment of Guendouzi and Xhaka and then Ramsey as that conduit. But then also looking at why Torreira was on the bench, do you think, would this game have panned out a little bit differently? Let's say if Lichtsteiner had started, Torreira had started, and do you feel like if Lacazette had started, because I felt all three had impact when they came on, is the shape a little bit different there, Kev, for you? Are we looking at a different result? If those three players had started the game, are we going to say to Unai, give him a pass, but did he get that selection wrong from the get-go?
Well, look, hindsight is a very good thing, isn't it? To know how it panned out. I didn't think Arsenal started the game too badly. You know, we were on them. We were pressing them. We were trapping them at times. And I was doing the game for Astro Supersport and spoke to Raheem Sterling after the game and he was saying, you know, Arsenal made life difficult for us. And it's, you know, you never heard that after last season's game. You know, we just didn't have the offense. But let me get into the Arsenal players. I thought Guendouzi was fantastic.
In the first half or the second half? In the first half, he was a little bit of a hot mess, but talk about make adjustments. Are you assessing that on the second half performance more than the first?
I've got to talk general.
Okay.
Because we are talking about Manchester City here. Manchester City are one of the best pressing teams in Europe. And Guendouzi was getting on the ball. And yeah, he was making some mistakes. But wasn't everybody making mistakes in the first half? Because Manchester City are full of energy and they were setting their traps and they were trapping him at times. But what I liked about him, he never shied away from taking the ball. He never shied away from putting his foot in and winning possession back. And I thought he grew into the game. And second half, I thought he grew. He was by far our best player. When you look at the way he was spraying that ball around, I thought, wow, this kid's 19. What a fantastic future he's got. Granit Xhaka, I don't think, helped him as much. Thought when they started to trap Granit Xhaka in the first half especially, they were just running through on our goal at times. Granit Xhaka doesn't want to run back. You know, I don't want to be ultra critical, but I've got to tell it like it is. And that worries me because against the best teams, players are going to run off Granit Xhaka. Ramsey, on the other hand, Aaron Ramsey, I think he wasn't quite fit. He was making runs beyond Aubameyang at times, which was fantastic runs. We were trying to hit the longer ball. But But as a as an attacking force, we couldn't get it together.
Mm-mm.
And if we can't get it together, then Ramsey can't have a good game, because he needs people to be able to get hold of the ball, us to build a bit of momentum so we could make those runs in late. We just couldn't seem to get that going. So Ramsey wasn't as effective as he usually is, you know. But for me, Guendouzi was the star man in that midfield.
And I love that we've given faith to a kid like Guendouzi, and I love that he didn't go hiding. Here's the thing for me. I think Ozil should be embarrassed after that performance against Manchester City. And listen, I'm not going to get on Ozil's case, and I'm not going to blame Ozil for our loss. But Kev, he needs to start showing up. He needs to stand up and be a man. And Guendouzi, even when he lost the ball and he made bad passes, the kid got stuck in. He didn't hide, and he tried to put the team on his shoulder. And in the second half, was kind of dictating a lot of what we were doing terms of combining from back to middle to front. And I felt like Ozil was just awful. And I'm not picking on him. I'm just assessing him on his performance.
Well, you're calling it, Sophie, you're calling it like it is. It's the eye test, we call it.
Mm-hmm.
You watch the game and you saw it, so you can only say what you see.
So what do we say then when we see Lacazette come on? All right, and I'm loving this bromance between Aubameyang and Lacazette, especially with Aubameyang coming out on social media and talking about Laka and stuff like that. I think he's trying to give him the confidence and big him up and stuff like that. If you're going to go the whole hog and put Guendouzi in midfield and Ramsey's struggling coming back from injury, why not play Ozil, Mkhitaryan, Aubameyang off Lacazette a little bit? Why didn't he take that risk? To me, if you're going to go the whole hog against City at that point, you may as well be starting Lacazette.
Look, again, hindsight is a wonderful thing. I believe nullifying Manchester City's midfield and then being able to put pressure on them with the traps was Emery's game plan. And for the first 15 minutes, I thought it worked pretty well.
I agree.
I honestly did. But once Manchester City start getting a foothold into the game, then, you know, they start asking you questions then. And that's the difficult part. And when you have players who won't track runners, you know, look, I don't want to get too far into Lacazette because we're going to get onto Lacazette, I'm sure. But let's look at Aubameyang, Mkhitaryan and Ozil as a front three. Mkhitaryan and Ozil are not wide players. They're midfielders, okay?
Right.
So, whenever Manchester City's fullbacks got good possession of the ball, what did they do? They bombed forward with the ball because they wanted Mkhitaryan and Ozil to do the dirty things, the hard yards, but they didn't want to do it. So, what does that mean? That means it's a 2v1. And again, it's not picking on them, but Manchester City ask you these questions. And when they start taking a foothold in the game, Aubameyang found himself isolated up front, and he's not as good with his back to goal as Lacazette.
Mm-hmm.
Because Aubameyang's more of a runner. He'll hunt the space. So we'll get to your point now where Lacazette comes on in the second half. Lacazette looks sharp. He's excellent at retaining the ball. Mm-hmm. He starts retaining the ball and Aubameyang comes to life.
Yep.
All of a sudden. So that just goes to show you that connection. You know, you can't be having the same players. They are kind of the perfect foil for each other because Aubameyang's good with his feet and he's sharp around the box. Lacazette is sharp with his feet. Aubameyang likes to hunt space and he's looking for through balls. But if you don't get that first ball where it sticks with Lacazette, you don't get to release Aubameyang over the top. So, or through.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that bromance, that connection, we've seen it before. I've luckily been part of some of the good partnerships at Arsenal, you know, to see strikers linking and dovetailing pretty well. And they've got it now. I believe Unai Emery needs to get these two together and they've got to play, and they've got to play regular, because that kind of understanding between them would only get better with games.
Absolutely. And I think that that would scare the bejesus out of a lot of teams. You know, maybe not Manchester City. And here's the scoop. I think that if we'd have lost that game in the manner in which we did against Burnley or Southampton, yeah, I'm panicking. But some of the overreaction, Kev, and some of the feedback from the first game, we played what potentially could be a better Manchester City team than last season. I went out on a limb and said on Twitter that right now they're probably the best team in Europe. Obviously, we haven't seen Real Madrid play or Barcelona play, but Real Madrid sans Ronaldo are going to be weaker. Barcelona, I'm sure they'll be great. But it's going to be those three, and we're going to be talking about those three in Bayern Munich and obviously Juventus. But this team is a special team, and if he does end up winning the Champions League with this team, I put them up there in top three Pep teams of all time. And Bernardo Silva this year, I think, is going to be, you know, the David Silva replacement. He's going to be the guy, and he's been amazing. So do you feel like some of the feedback after that first game, Tony Adams' comments, you've played with the man, he's a mate of yours, you know where his intentions lie with Arsenal. Do you feel like that was a bit more of an attack as opposed to giving constructive opinions and criticism after that first game, Kev?
Funny, I actually listened live to the radio show that Tony done, and I could understand exactly what he was saying, because that's the way it has been done in the past, where, you know, organizing that solid platform of a back four and a midfield two and a goalkeeper. For Tony, that was always the base of the team. I get that. But Unai Emery isn't like any other manager we've had. He wants to do his thing a certain way. Of course he does. And he wants to play and understand, let the players understand that they have to be able to beat the press. Here's the reason why. If you don't train beating the press, when the press comes to you, you're going to keep turning possession over because you're going to keep kicking it long. And when you kick it long and then you turn it over to Manchester City, you find yourself running back towards your own goal. And once that starts to happen, players don't make runs forward anymore. And then you're sat deep and you can't get out. That's why Unai Emery wants to beat the press. And whenever Arsenal did beat the press with some good play, we looked really dangerous. But again, we just didn't have that quality in the last third, which actually is quite un-Arsenal-like.
Yes, it was very disappointing. It was very disappointing because a Wenger team would have been down 4-0 at halftime. I will put my house on that. There's no doubt about it. But they somehow still had the discipline. And this is what I want some gooners out there to see, Kev, is that I saw a lot more discipline. In that first 20 minutes, I agree with you, in that you saw the lines, you saw the four at the back, you saw the way the midfield were lined up. There was this synchronicity.
Organized.
Yes. And it felt like for the first time in years, each player knew their job. They knew what they were supposed to do. Right. And I did feel like I love Tony and I'm, you know, he's a legend, but I felt like it was a bit of an attack as opposed to, let's get everyone together. Even the crowd in the stadium, they started getting on the team's back just a little bit on Ozil. Don't panic yet, right, Kev? Let's just stick together. This is the first game we were playing against Manchester City, right? Technically, we should do better against Chelsea. But in the meantime, I think one of our biggest pickles is Granit Xhaka, because I feel like people believe in his talent, and they want to see that talent come to fruition. And we've seen moments of his talent, you know, where he's controlled games. But I just don't, there's something missing. There's a chip missing for me. And I don't know if I start him against Chelsea. If you're Emery, do you start benching Xhaka, Ozil? Do you send a message right away? What do you do in this approach?
Well, for sure, Torreira has to play. Torreira has to play. Guendouzi was that good, and he had that much energy. he has to play as well. Whether he's 19 or 29, it doesn't matter. He showed his willingness and he showed his energy and he can put his foot in, which is fantastic to see. I look at Granit Xhaka and I have this question. When I always look at a midfielder, mm-hmm. I look at, okay, what does he bring to the team? When you look at a David Silva, let's look at both our midfields. Manchester City's Fernandinho, you know what he was doing. He was breaking up play. He was setting attacks up and he was screening in front of the back four. You look at Bernard Silva. Bernard Silva was probing with that left foot and he was playing forward passes into dangerous areas for Sterling, Aguero and Mahrez. That's what his job was. Okay. Let's look at our midfield. We know Guendouzi was spraying the ball about fantastic. Granit Xhaka. What was Granit Xhaka doing? Mm-hmm. And what is he good at? Because if you tell me what he's good at, that's what we should be seeing.
He's now, not very smart, Kev. I don't think he's very smart. I don't think he's a smart footballer. Even Gundogan and Fernandinho in that game, they were like silent assassins. You didn't hear too much about them, but they just controlled the tempo, you know, and the way they played off with the wide men and then Silva taking control of that. I mean, maybe we shouldn't be agreeing so much. Amanda would be here probably disagreeing with us, but I think we're on the same page because we see things as they are in that you just don't notice. You notice Xhaka because he makes too many mistakes. A player in his position sometimes should be that sublime, you know, you hardly notice him because he's done such a great job. It's kind of like Kante. Why isn't Kante being nominated for Ballon d'Ors and stuff like that? He's such a silent assassin the way he goes about his work and stuff like that. And I feel like...
Yeah, but...
Go on.
Sophie, we appreciate, you see, with a Kante, everybody appreciates what he does. Because you could see that, one, you could see the effort, two, you could see the work rate, and three, you could see he puts his foot in.
Mm-hmm.
Gundogan, for instance, I deliberately left him out because he's that continuity type of player, which is a typical Pep Guardiola player who gets it, gives it, gets it back, gets it, gives it, gets it back. And before you know it, he's opened you up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. This is what we want from Mesut Ozil, really. You know, get it, give it, get it, give it, and then open teams up. But for me, I don't see... Is Granit Xhaka... I've heard that he's not a holding player. So what is he? Is he a player who's going to get beyond? Is he a player who's going to deliver quality passes to open teams up? Because I never saw that on Sunday. I never saw him getting stuck in, putting tackles in. I never saw him screening the back four as much as Guendouzi was. So, again, what does he actually do for the team? And sometimes we have to be critical in that sense and say, right, your job is to do this. If you're good at playing through balls, that's what I want to see.
Right. And you know what, Kev, this is, he's going into his third season now with us. I saw more of that when he was playing for Borussia Mönchengladbach in Bundesliga. This is the reason why we bought him. When we bought him, we felt like he could be our Xavi Alonso because he does have that in his arsenal. He does have that sweeping pass, left foot, you know, right foot. He had a good World Cup with Switzerland too. I just don't think he's grown into this role, and maybe we'll see a little bit of a difference with Emery and how he's going to be able to coach him, because already I've seen a difference in certain players being coached up. I thought Bellerin looked a step ahead, you know.
Yeah.
I thought that Mustafi looked a step ahead, and I've always...
A lot better.
Right? Yeah. And I've always respected Mustafi's position prowess, because sometimes he may miss moments, but positionally he's got that kind of German-esque, you know, defensive brain and stuff like that. And so, you know, we're going to see how Emery is. Is he that Pep type of coach where he coaches players up? We've seen that with his teams before. So let's get stuck into a little bit of, you know, we've discussed the game. Overall, before we move on with some of our fan questions, Kev, what is your, in a 30-second nutshell, your assessment of game one, considering who we were playing and going forward, are we going to still be able to finish top four from what you've seen?
Well, I think so, definitely. I think it was such an un-Arsenal-like attacking performance that we actually relied too much on the defence.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually usually isn't our strong point. I saw shoots of progress, like I said, like you said, with the organisation, etc. It's not perfect, but I believe with Torreira coming in and a couple more changes, Lacazette starting, I think we'll be better. We'll be a lot better.
I agree. I agree. And something simple as that, a simple tweak like a Torreira starting and a Lacazette starting, especially against a Chelsea team who everyone seems to have a different opinion about, you know, over the last 2 days because they beat Huddersfield, who look woeful. We'll hold off on that and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. You are listening to the Highbury Squad with Sophie Nicolaou and Kevin Campbell. You can follow us at Soccer Diva at one Kevin Campbell. And let's not forget our old Princess Guna. You can follow her, Guna Girl 1969. You can find us on Facebook and SoundCloud right now and YouTube. Our iTunes account should be up and running in the coming days. Hopefully once they give us the green light, you know how it rolls with iTunes people. And yeah, so it'll be fun. So stay tuned for a lot more coming from us. All right. So up next, we ask for you guys to come at us with some of your questions and always interesting to hear what you guys say. And remember, you can apply. And I say that loosely, Kev. I don't mean like apply for a job, but hit us up because we're looking for a fan of the week to be on the show in the next couple of weeks. So hit us up at Highbury Squad to let us know what you think. Let's get stuck into some of your fan questions. Just wanted to say thanks to Peter Styles at Peter C. Styles. He asked about Tony Adams and we had already answered that question. So thanks for sending that in. We've got Liam Roden here. Apologies if I pronounce anyone's name incorrectly, but he's at Liam Deej. Can Aubameyang and Lacazette start together or are their playing styles too similar, Kev?
But 100% they can play together. Their playing styles actually complement each other. Because Lacazette he likes to play side on and he's very good at receiving the ball. Aubameyang likes to play on the shoulder and hunt space. So for me, that's a perfect combination that they can dovetail. And I believe we're missing a trick right now by not playing them. And I'd love to see them play against that Chelsea back line.
I would too. I think that he should absolutely change that up against Chelsea, who still, to me, look vulnerable at the back, even though they won that game. We're moving on to the doctor now, just in case you need a checkup, Kev. We've got the doctor at Delta 8488. Is it realistic to hope for a top four finish? I just asked Kev this. But also, is it still a possibility for us to win Europa League? Thoughts on that one?
Of course. Look, it's one game gone. One game, which was always going to be the acid test for us. Mm-hmm. You know, I never go into a game thinking, you know, Arsenal ain't going to win the game unless it was, you know, last season or whatever. But, you know, I'm going to back this new regime and Unai Emery to the maximum. Yeah, we got found out a little bit because the questions Manchester City asked, who are 2 years ahead of us in that sense. Yeah, you know, they were the better team on the day and they done us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at their bench and the players that they brought on was scary, let's be honest. But can Arsenal finish in the top four? 100% Arsenal can finish in the top four. Arsenal only going to get better. Can they win the Europa League? Of course we can win the Europa League.
I agree. I agree completely. We're agreeing way too much. We're going to have to find something to disagree on in a minute. All right, here we have one from Kamanzi, and that's at Richard KMNZ. After Manchester City, should Guendouzi get the number 8 jersey? Whoa, big call here from Kamanzi. What do you think?
I'm not too sure whether Unai Emery might tweak the system a little bit if we're away from home at the weekend against Chelsea. and play Torreira and Guendouzi sitting a little bit more and one in front, because then you could probably incorporate Lacazette and Aubameyang up top.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, can he play the number 8? Of course he can play the number 8. I think he's quite flexible, Guendouzi. But will he play the number 8? I'm not too sure. I think Unai Emery might go with 2 sitting midfielders at the weekend.
Do you think he'll start him against Chelsea?
I'd like to think so. I really would like to think so, because I think he was the star man in the game for us, let alone in the midfield. So, you know, I really like the look of Torreira. He's got a little bit, he can see he's got the fight in him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, against Chelsea, we're going to need that. We're really going to need that.
Do you think against Chelsea, do you think, can you see a scenario where he changes the formation a little bit? Can you see him changing the tactics?
He tweak it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yes, he's not afraid to, is he? He's not afraid to do it either, is he, Kev?
No, he's not. And I don't know if anybody noticed, in the first half, when Manchester City were getting a good grip of the game, I think it was after about 30 minutes, he made an adjustment. Mesut Ozil moved and Ramsey moved position. We kind of started to come back into the game again. So he's very good tactically, Unai Emery is. Look, the result didn't work out, but I was looking at those little things, because Pep Guardiola adjusted to Emery after 15 minutes, and then Emery had to readjust again. So, you know, Unai Emery is very, very clever guy, and we all want it to be further down the line, don't we? We want
of course, of course.
But the process has to take place, and the process is happening right now, and he will be tactically astute and he will change it.
Yeah, I think people forget where we've fallen, and, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. I think people are seeing the true damage done to Arsenal Football Club, especially over the last 3 or 4 years. Just hearing what's coming out about training, what we did and didn't do in training, some of the fundamentals, you know, all of that has come to fruition, and it's going to take this manager a long time. Look what's happened to Manchester United, Kev. Look how far they fell after Sir Alex Ferguson. We need patience, and we need to stay together as a fan base and as a group. And we've got another one here from Ian Funnel, who's at GoBoFunnel on Twitter. How do we get, you touched on this a little bit, but he's also asking about the formation. How do we get the best out of Ozil, Ramsey and Mickey in a 4-2-3-1, as none of them are natural wide players? And you talked about this, and we used to give Wenger a hard time about trying to put players, you know, square pegs in round holes. Just play players in their positions. What are your thoughts here for Ian on these guys, if they do start together, and how they can play together?
I think probably one of them have to miss out.
Who misses out for you, Kev, out of those three?
I don't know. I don't know. That's not my shout. You know, for me, I think Mesut Ozil has to start. He has to start, because going forward, when he has that base in the midfield of toughness there, he will get released, because in the transition where what Manchester City were doing to us, we the ones who's got to be doing that to opposition teams. So when Torreira or Guendouzi win it back and get it to Ozil, Ozil then is looking, he's got his head up and he's looking to release Aubameyang and Lacazette. That's what I mean.
Mm.
For Ramsey, it's a bit different, because he relies on the other players to hold the ball and to get him in position running beyond. For Mkhitaryan, I think he kind of plays a different style, kind of running with the ball from a number 10 or from a wider position. But our problem is this, when the three of them play.
Mm. Yeah.
Getting back. And it's on the transition.
Yeah, and Rambo.
That is our problem.
Rambo is so reliant on that, isn't he? So you said it at the top of the show. He's so reliant on other people. Of course, the entire team's reliant on everyone doing their job, but he in particular thrives on that. And if he's not getting that little kick, he's out of the game. And it felt like he was trying too hard against Manchester City, and maybe that is due to his fitness. Okay, I've got one more for you here. And keep those questions coming in, Gooners. We will answer them for you every single week. We've got Jenny AB, who's a real fan of the show. We love our Jenny. Do all three of you, we can't speak for Amanda, but we can give you a bit of a taste of what she might answer here. Do all three of you stand by your transfer window assessment last week? Now we're a game in. So Amanda went all large on us, Kev, saying, see, this is why I said I didn't want to grade anyone and blah, blah, blah. I stand by my assessment of the transfer window. You just need to give the manager enough time to make it work. Do you agree or disagree with that, Kev?
100%. You know, I know, look, we seem to be agreeing on virtually everything, Sophie. But look, the manager has addressed the positions that we needed to address. Not all of those players were actually on the pitch on Sunday. So, you know, after one game, fair enough, Manchester City won the game. But until they have some momentum and get some players playing and get knowing what's going on, you know, we're not going to see the best of them. So I stick by the assessment, and I believe Arsenal are going to get better. I really do.
Boom. And if Amanda was here, she'd probably say, I was right. See, you've got to wait. You've got to wait. So we'll let her speak for herself when she's back on the show next week. All right, with all that said, Kev, let's do our grading. Put your school teacher hat on. School is in session now. I need you to give me a grade for Mr. Emery on his first game and a grade for the team. In a nutshell, what is your assessment of our first performance against a brilliant team?
Yeah, for Emery, I'll give him a C+. Solely because the way he adjusted the team, made a difference. You know, he stuck to his guns trying to play out from the back, and, you know, which was at times pretty hairy. We set traps for Manchester City and we caught them as well, but we just didn't have enough oomph up front to make a difference. And I give the team a C minus because it was better than last season. We saw some shoots of progress. But we just didn't have enough quality on the day to unhinge Manchester City. So
yeah.
C+ for Emery, C- for the team.
I'm going to go C- for Emery only because I felt like at times playing out the back the way we did against Manchester City was a little bit naive, and we've got to do much, much better than that. And I think for the team, I think I give our defence a B- considering where we were last year, and I give our forward line a D. Ozil, Mkhitaryan, Aubameyang, they have got to be much better. They had zero control of the ball, Kev. They didn't do anything with it when they had the chances, and they squandered any chance that we had. And that, I felt, you know, put us in a bit of a hole. There was a moment in the game where it could have easily been 1-1 and maybe game on a little bit differently. But the forward line, I thought, were really AWOL against City, and the defence deserved a little bit better than that.
Sophie, I'm going to disagree on something with you now.
Way! Woo! Ring the bell!
Sophie, you can't give the defence a mark and then the forwards a mark. You said the team, so give the team
right,
a mark.
Okay, all right. I love it. Kev's the police. Kev's the police around these parts, people. Just remember that. All right, I'll give the team a C, and I'll give the manager a C- because I felt he could have made a couple decisions, Kev, where it would have maybe changed the balance of the game. Right, school's out, grades are done, that's that. All right, people, game one is done. Let's forget about it. Let's put it in our rear view mirror, because, you know, Kev, one of my favourite personal lines is I only ever use the rear view mirror to check my lipstick. You like that one?
Right. I like it.
All right. Chelsea. We've got Chelsea coming up. And I thought I'd play you a little message from our friend, Miss Princess Guna here, so you could hear what she has to say about this game. Let's have a little listen before we dissect and make our predictions.
Hi, everyone. Sorry I can't be on the pod this week, but I'm sure Sophie and Kev are doing a fabulous job.
Of course we
are. I look forward to listening to it when it's out. My prediction for Saturday evening is that I don't get too drunk on the boat going up the Thames with loads of gooners to watch the match, because that's what I'm doing. I don't know. I think we're going to lose, if I'm honest. I think we might lose 2-1. I'm really sorry to be negative, but I'm always honest with my predictions. I thought we were going to draw 2-2 last week, but I think we may lose 2-1. And then maybe our season will start after these two horrible games. Let's hope what he implemented against City, he still tries to implement with the team and he puts his own stamp on it. But I will be there cheering us on. And yes, I'm going for a loss. Okay, I'll be back on the podcast next week. Thanks. Bye.
She's going for a loss, Super Kev. What do you say about them apples?
Yeah, well, look. Princess Coon has been a bit, Amanda's been a bit negative at the moment. She's not been happy. So I understand that, but I don't see why, you know, Chelsea, I'm not scared of Chelsea. I'll be honest with you. They don't frighten me one bit. And I'm going for Arsenal win. I'm going for actually 2-1 win the other way, because there is no way as an attacking force, we're going to play that bad again. No chance. So I'm going for an Arsenal win 2-1.
I agree. And I think we may even win this 3-1. I fancy us against Chelsea. I think that they were flattered against Huddersfield. Huddersfield, I'm concerned about. I think they could be in a lot of trouble this season. Their sophomore year as well. It's always much tougher than when you come up the first time and you're riding on the euphoria of all of that. I think we'll see a different Hazard in this game for sure. Obviously, Kante is going to be the one to try and to break down. What were your initial thoughts on Jorginho? Do you think that's a good signing for them, Kev? Do you fear?
I think he looks good,
doesn't he?
I think it's a very good signing. Obviously, Manchester City wanted him, if you remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Sarri coming to Chelsea, he knows him very well. You know, he's the linchpin, and I'm sure Unai Emery is going to have something up his sleeve for that Sarri. Because he tends to dictate the play quite a bit and get them playing. So I think Unai Emery is going to tweak the system a little bit to make sure we nullify him. So the Gooners are going to get a win there. Come on.
Yeah, Chelsea have beaten us 62 times, but they've also lost 76 games against us. We've drawn 52 times, Kev. In the last few seasons, it's been a bit of a mix-up, but, you know, Mourinho always had Wenger's number, but this is an opportunity. I tell you what, Wenger always had Conte's number, though, didn't he? And this is another opportunity for us to carry on and really that forward line to get going. As I said, I fancy a 3-1. Your prediction finally is a 2-1, you said?
I said 2-1, yeah.
And 2-1. Some people are predicting that Emery might start Leno in goal. Do you see him making that change?
I don't, to be honest. I don't see him making that change. But if he does, then great, you know, he's bought him, he spent good money on him. And at the end of the day, if he thinks Petr Cech ain't up to, because you know Chelsea are going to come to press us.
Yeah.
Now that they've seen what Manchester City done. So if Petr Cech ain't quite up to it and he thinks, you know, this is the reason why I've got two main goalkeepers, then Leno plays. If he's better than Petr Cech with his feet.
Yep. And also, Chelsea should just lose because their coach looks like a hot mess. I mean, he looks like a couple of the coaches I've seen at AYSO, which is a school, you know, a league here for budding soccer players, kids from the ages of 5 all the way up. What a mess he looks, Kev. I mean, I don't mind coaches wearing tracksuits and stuff like that, but I think he's crossed the line, don't you? That's a bit of a mess.
So I'll leave you to that one.
All right, fine.
I'm not even interested in what he's wearing. As long as we beat him, I don't care.
All right, fine. Okay, so here's some more predictions for you. We haven't done this yet, and we're not cheating because it's one game in. We just wanted to do it when we're all together, and sometimes that's difficult to predict. Amanda will give hers next week. But Kev, I wanted to get your top four, your bottom three, and your Champions League winner your FA Cup and Carabao Cup winner. We owe it to the Highbury squad listeners. They've got to know what we think.
That's too many.
All right.
That's too many. I mean, come on. Look, I think the top four are going to be in no particular order. Arsenal, Manchester City, Manchester United and Liverpool. I think that's going to be the top four. I think Tottenham are going to miss out and Chelsea are going to miss out. That's just my view.
Bottom three,
I think one of my old teams, Cardiff, I think they're going to struggle. I think Huddersfield are going to struggle. And who else came up? Who's the other team who came up?
We've got Cardiff, Huddersfield, and we've got...
Wolves are going to be fine, I think. No, Wolves are going to be fine. But there's one more.
That's it. That's Wolves, Cardiff, and let's see. I'm having a brain fart. Wolves? Oh, Fulham.
Fulham.
Yeah.
I think Fulham are going to struggle. Mm. I do. I think Fulham are going to go down. I know they've spent a lot of money, but it's hard. The Premier League's hard. It is hard. So I think Cardiff, Fulham, and Huddersfield.
So are you saying at this juncture you're not going to predict your Champions League or FA Cup or Carabao Cup winner? Is that what you're saying, Mr. Super Kev?
I mean, Champions League. I mean, we've not even the groups ain't even been done yet. So I think that's egging it on a bit. Obviously, Real Madrid are the champions, but you know there's.
I'm going to give you a pass.
Give me a pass on that one.
All right.
FA Cup,
you can predict.
FA Cup, I'm going to go for an Arsenal win. FA Cup.
I like this. I like this a lot.
I think we're a cup team right now, as well. Carabao Cup, I think it could be the likes of a Manchester City winning that again. Because they've got so much strength in depth.
Mm.
It's scary.
So you predicted your top four, but you didn't predict your champion. So you're not, usually...
Yeah, I'm not going to predict, because I don't... City are going to take some stopping. And the only one at the moment who looks like they're going to be able to really, really challenge them is the other lot from Merseyside. And I don't want to mention their name. Who look very strong.
All right, well, look, my top four is similar. I've got City, I've got Liverpool, I've got Arsenal, and I've got Man United, I think, squeezing in there. My bottom three, I fear for Cardiff. I actually fear for Southampton this year. I don't think they're much improved. And I think it's either between Fulham or Huddersfield for me. I fear for those guys. FA Cup. People might shoot me for saying this, but I actually think Tottenham might win it this year. And Carabao Cup.
What is going on here, Sophie? No chance.
I just wanted to get you riled up so we could disagree on something, Kev. Come on.
No chance. Listen, they haven't even got a ground.
Let's get into that for 2 seconds. How epic is that? That their ground isn't ready. It was never going to be ready. They led fans up the garden path. Once again, the blue side of North London proving themselves to be the inferior team. Right? Come on.
Listen, I've got a lot of pals who are Spurs and they are not happy right now because they've been sold that dream. The season ticket prices have gone up. They've been charged for it. And the new stadium's not even going to be open.
Amazing.
How brilliant is that?
And they're making out as if they're giving refunds, but yet fans are still going to have to buy tickets to go to Wembley and see games at Wembley.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Look, the gift that just keeps on giving them, isn't they?
Yes, they are. They certainly are. Great. That deserves a little ring of the bell. Come on, get stuck in there.
Ring it.
All right, Kev, that brings us to the end of the show. You have been listening to the Highbury Squad with myself, Sophie Nicolau, and Mr. Super Kev, Kevin Campbell. You can follow him one, that's the number one, at one Kevin Campbell on Twitter. Follow me at Soccer Diva. And of course, let's not forget about our little princess, Guna Girl 1969. You can listen to us on SoundCloud. You can listen to us on YouTube and Facebook. We will be on Acast and iTunes in the coming days, so watch out for that. You always interact with us and we love it. Keep those questions coming in. Super Kev is here to answer any of your calls. Join us next week where our special guest would be Mr. Billy Bean. That is right, the man who invented the money ball. Huge gooner as well. A close mate of Mr. Wenger and Gazidis. Hopefully we'll squeeze some stories out of him. In fact, Billy's just bought Barnsley FC and is also an owner in AZ Alkmaar in the Dutch league as well. So that'll be a fascinating conversation and interview with the Oakland A's manager, the general. I just went to the Oakland A's Angels game and I tell you, his A's look super, super good so far this season, Kev. He's got them rolling.
Brilliant. Yeah. Well, you know the film that Brad Pitt played?
Yeah, Moneyball,
Was it Moneyball?
Yeah.
Is he the guy behind that, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And the other thing, he's so proud of the fact that he had someone like Brad Pitt play him in, you know, his life story. You can't be disappointed with that, can you, really?
Oh, he's buzzing, isn't he?
He's buzzing. He's totally buzzing. Oh, gosh, such good stuff. And you know, when he was the hottest college prospect, he was like drafted number one, but he just never made it. As a ball player and stuff. So, yeah, we'll be with Billy next week. So look out for that, Gooners. And until then, because she's gone, maybe you can say it, Kev, but people know what the scoop is around here, don't they?
It's always Arsenal.
Boom.
Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl 1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.